One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Sam Baltrusis about his attachments to the dead.
To explain how, like, what that felt like, it's like being sick. So I basically I tell the story. I was, like, really into it, but I also, when I was looking in the mirror, and this is in the show as well, I felt like my face was, like, deformed. And I'm like, what's going on, Mike? And Mike was my friend. He was there with me. And he's like, you look fine to me, Sam. And, like, everyone was like, you're fine. But meanwhile, I was not myself. I was almost like I was just tired, and I was really drained. But I was also kind of, like, feeling out of it. And on the way home, you know, they replayed this. I was going in and out of consciousness throughout this whole thing. So it turns out that, long story short, somehow I picked up this attachment at this house. And while I was doing the whole story, multiple people reported seeing this, like, shadow figure kind of pacing behind me while I was telling the story. And I was oblivious to it because I was so into getting this information. And they said, like, several people said it kind of, like, jumped into me. And I'm like, so you can visually see, I'll tell you, like, this was 3 years ago, and I have changed so much since then. Like, I really did not think that was possible. I knew that spirits were real. I've never had trance channeling before, or at least where I don't remember it. And then having it where I actually got an attachment from the situation. So I go home thinking that, you know, I'm just really tired from a very busy October that year. And then it just got worse and worse. It was a 7-day ordeal of me going in and out of consciousness, and having no idea that it was related to this event that I gave in Topsfield. I thought it was something else, and I wasn't even sure that it was spiritual. Like, I thought maybe it was just like I had the flu or something.
Yeah.
But so I basically my friend Joni Mahan, who's a fellow author, she actually reached out to me, and she's like, something's wrong. And I'm like, well, Joni, I'm fine. And they kind of course dramatized it a bit, but she actually did save my life. So it turns out I had an attachment, and at this point really didn't really know what it was, but she reached out to her shaman friend, Michael Robichaud, and he identified the attachment pretty immediately. And he basically said, you know, the attachment was 27 years old, came from a wealthy family. He, like, gave us all these details. And, like, first of all, we weren't friends on Facebook, so he wouldn't know about this whole Richard Crenshaw thing. But he had very specific details of my attachment. And then he did a removal, and that actually opened up the floodgate for me when it comes to my abilities as a clairvoyant. And so, like all this experience I have now as a clairvoyant, it's definitely heightened since then. So even though it almost killed me, it was like basically like it was saying, do it. Like, it wanted me, I think it wanted me dead. It definitely wanted me to drink alcohol. And that's something that he would have done when he was living. So yeah, I mean, it was a horrible experience, but it was also, I would say, it was a life-changing experience for me as well.
Sure. We've had Joni on the show several times. Great interview. Very, very interesting stories that she has. When you have an attachment like this, the quick thing I'm sure that everyone goes to you and says, were you possessed? But I think attachment is probably right. A lot more of the correct terminology. Everyone goes to exorcist when they think possessed. And I don't think you were spitting up pea soup, although not feeling good, that could have happened at some point or another. Go ahead.
I will say this, and I actually, on the show, I did use the word possession. Mm-hmm. If I could turn back time, I probably would have said entity manipulation, because I really think like the things that were happening to me, like I tied myself to the bed because I was so worried that I was going to wake up and jump off my balcony. Mm-hmm. It was like I was going in and out of consciousness. I was posting stuff online that was very macabre, didn't make any sense. The craving for alcohol was so intense. That entity wanted me to drink alcohol. And you know, for me, that would have been worse than death, because I've been sober for so many years, and it's really important for me not to drink alcohol. And the fact that this thing wanted me to drink alcohol was overwhelming.
Sure.
I will say this was not in the show, and I levitated. And so in my bed, the reason why I tied myself to the bed, there was a period where I woke up and I was levitating off the bed. So that's something that could be viewed as possession.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I know that seems like really insane, but I thought that was too far fetched for the show. Mm-hmm. And I talked to producers for about 6 months. So it was not, we did not just do this. It was not like one interview and then they did the show. Like we talked and talked and talked about it. Mm-hmm. And what were you doing when this happened? And for example, like my eyes, when people would see me like Joni, they would see that my pupils were dilated. And when I looked in the mirror that one time, when I looked distorted, like I had jagged teeth and my eyes were dilated black and things like that, like little nuances that, I think like if you just did one interview, you wouldn't get all the specifics, but they nailed what really happened, to a T, except for the actual semantics. I did not give the entity to use my body as a conduit. And that's something that we talked about. And I said, you know, if it's going to help people not to do what I did, then let's do it. And so if you notice, I never actually say that on the show, but the actor who plays me actually does. Mm-hmm. So I get a lot of comments on YouTube, et cetera, saying like, well, he invited the spirit to take, you know, I'm like, I didn't actually, no. I didn't invite the spirit, but that, you know, they weren't there. And the people that were there, I don't know if they knew what was going on. They just knew that, I mean, if you talk to people that were actually there, they thought I gave a really amazing performance.
Sure.
But it was me that was the one that was being affected, and everyone that was in the paranormal community, like Jody, like Michael Robichaux, like my friend Mike, they knew that something was going wrong haywire with me, and I just thought I was ill. And I didn't know that I had an attachment. Some people say that an attachment, like for me, it actually was, and Joni says this on the show, it was almost like it was taking over. Like it was one step beyond an attachment. It actually was kind of taking over my personality. Like really dark thoughts, like wanting to drink alcohol. Like it was pretty intense. And so I think that this, and that, the thing is, and I told producers, and I see this every show that I go on. I'm like, please do not make this the D word.
Sure.
Because it was not demonic. It was a very angry entity that killed people. But he also had, you know, and I'll tell you, like people ask me this, I was sympathetic to this entity too. And that's probably one of my downfalls, because I really felt like he was framed. And so part of the information that I got from that initial infestation or the contact with him was that he didn't act alone. It's said that he committed suicide in prison, and actually he was telling me that he was killed. And what's interesting about that is Michael Robichaux, when he did the reading on the entity, he said that this entity attachment was actually killed, and he didn't say he committed suicide. But yeah, it was one of those things that I don't wish on my worst enemy, but it's also, it's so insane. If you would have said, like, you know, 10 years ago, hey, you're going to have this attachment that's going to probably almost kill you, I would have laughed in your face. Mm-hmm. I've never thought it could have happened to me. Now I know better. Now I know that stuff exists, and not to provoke evil, as the title of the show is. As I kind of jokingly said to you before the show, I said, I would have called the show accidentally provoking evil, because I didn't have intentions to actually provoke this entity. But I do remember that having that connection, getting the information was so, it really piqued my interest.
Sure.
So I wanted more and more of that information. And I was also sympathetic to him. And I'm like, wait a minute, maybe this person was framed. And this is all meanwhile happening while I'm giving a show. You know, like I'm like performing as Richard Crown and Shield. So long story short, Michael Robichaud, and I say this, and people are like, how did you not know what a shaman was? I'll tell you, like, I wrote about like history and ghosts. I didn't write about a lot of the New Age practices. I didn't write about Wiccan. Wiccans are people. But I really didn't write about a lot of these things that my friends would focus on, which is like protection and those types of things. I really focused on just getting the stories and actually spirit communication with a lot of my earlier books were actually interviewing other people and their experiences. It wasn't really my personal experiences. It was their experiences and like them telling me what happened to them. Mm-hmm. So I was a journalist, like a paranormal journalist, basically. In this case, you know, now I know what a shaman is. The shaman, like, he literally sent his spirits, like he called the spirits, and they scanned the room. And the difference between, you know, me and other people that Michael has worked with is I actually saw them. And a lot of people that I've talked to, and I'm friends with these people, it's almost like a survivor group. You know, like I survived a, you know, extreme haunting, mm-hmm. Group of friends. And they're like, Sam, I actually didn't see the spirit. Like, we talk about like what happened when Michael did the cleansing. And for me, like, I felt a ringing in my ears. I saw his spirit guides, like literally, you know, like, there were three spirit guides, but then I also saw my grandmother, and that wasn't in the show because when I started telling that part of the story, she was doing the rosary, while this was going on, like, come on, Sam, you can fight. And, like, she was like doing the rosary. And I started like bawling when I retold the story of my grandmother being there. And my grandmother also died young when I was young. And she was very Catholic. So the fact that he used Catholic prayer, throughout the cleansing ceremony, makes total sense, because my very Catholic grandmother was fighting for me throughout the whole thing. So basically I see these three spirit, like these three spirit guides scan the room. They're standing in front of me, while I'm on the floor while this is going on. I look up and I feel this thing kind of come out of me, and then they're finding whatever this thing was. And, you know, I've been asked, like, did you see it come out of you? I saw it rush out of me and head towards the spirit. And I can see what's going on and other people normally don't. Mm-hmm. So that opened up something for me. So I saw the thing leave me, and then it was like basically, you know, like it was fighting. And then I pass out. So I pass out for, I don't know how long I passed out, but I passed out. I wake up and I feel like the world, just opened up for me, and that thing was like I felt like the cloud that was engulfing me had lifted.
So is there anything that you obviously, I'm sure you learned things from this experience, but is there anything that you do now to defend yourself from having such an attachment or a possession occur again?
Well, now that I've gone through this and I've worked with Michael Robichaud and I've worked with even people from the Wiccan community, now I know how to protect myself. So I, you know, definitely, I, even if I have a situation where I feel that there may be, I may be in trouble, and then actually something did come up this past summer involving the Conjuring House, where I had something like a black mist kind of take over, and guess who calls me out of the blue? Michael Robichaud. Mm-hmm. So Michael Robichaud literally said, Sam, there's something, like, my spirits tell me that there's something going after you or attaching itself to you. Let me take care of it. So I have Michael's spirits looking out for me, and that's amazing. It's like a feeling that I can pretty much do anything, which I don't. I try my best to be as safe as possible. So I do use things like, I have the rosary beads that I carry with me, but I also use like sage and the typical things. And I have this medallion that I use that's it's kind of like my protection medallion. So long, like I basically, now when I go to a location, I basically ground and I open, but then I close as well. So I do a lot of things, a lot of prayer meditation. The biggest thing for me, and this is why I got that initial attachment, was my vibration was very low. So it's important for me to maintain a high vibration to not attract the lower level entity, especially when I work in Salem. So I really work on a high vibration. That's through prayer, meditation, really taking care of yourself physically and mentally, like not stressing yourself out, like really living a healthy life as much as possible. And like in prayer and meditation, like literally clearing your mind and focusing on positive things. And I get a lot of positivity, especially when I'm working with people, like talking to Millie, like the grandmother, or talking to people who are the loved ones. Like it's a lot of love. And, you know, when people pass, especially like a grandmother, it's a loving energy. And so I focus on those types of energies and those messages now more than I did before. So I really work on maintaining a high vibration to combat the negative. But I also have Michael Robichaud and his warrior spirit guides to protect me.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Sam Baltrusis about his attachments to the dead. Thank you for supporting our program and keeping it on the air. Without your support, we would not be around. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.